B-Pod Studios.
Oh, yeah, crazy town. And Rich and I saw a tweet that it was, 20 years and a couple weeks ago that Crazy Town's album came out. And it was a very interesting question on Twitter. What was your favorite Crazy Town song off the platinum selling record, Crazy Town? It was called, the two songs they mentioned were Outro and Butterfly.
I don't remember Outro at all.
Well, obviously, you're just the guy who pays attention to the hits. You didn't really dig into the Crazy Town record. Ted Johnson, you know him. He was he's a very famous man about town. He was a patriot. Now he's on NBC Sports Boston, as well as his very radio station. He has rapport with our own Joe Murray. He's brought to you this morning by Boston Prolotherapy. Do what Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help repair painful damaged joints. Without surgery, online at bostonprolotherapy.com. Now, you two are friends, you and... I would go so far as to say you two are friends, you and Joe Murray.
Yes, I would
say so.
Of course
we are,
yes. Yeah, I think he's a friend.
Have you guys road tripped together? Did I hear that right?
No. We need to, though.
No, but we've had Ted's old man... You guys would love this. So his old man owned a barbecue shop for years.
Mm-hmm. 36 years now.
And, I'm a big food guy, and one day he's like, dude, I love barbecue food, you know, my old man. And then, so his dad was on his way to the Golden Nugget one day, called in.
That's right, yeah.
We talked barbecue food for the whole segment, yeah, literally, about 30 minutes.
Oh, really?
On a weekend, Sunday, great.
It might have been around 4th of July. There was a theme to the barbecue. But, yeah, Joe wanted to have dad on, senior. Yeah, we owned a barbecue restaurant outside of Houston for forever, for 35 years. They just sold it about 8 months ago.
Yeah.
And so he's enjoying his retirement at the age of 80. So he's the old school guy. Worked his, he just all he knows is work. So loves to talk barbecue. Came on and we talked about just the operation that we had there. It was fun. It was fun when Houston hosted the Super Bowl in 2003, and a lot of the fans went out to see my dad and to the restaurant and had some great barbecue. And Dad's catered to the team before, after we played the Texans in that same year.
Yeah, Wilfork alone would have to have demanded a lot.
Yep.
As we've heard, he's taken several orders of wings for his personal consumption on team planes.
And I believe Vince lives down in Houston now. So
yep,
there you go.
He's got a good place down there. So your dad loves the Nugget. He's heads out to Vegas.
He does love to gamble a little bit, blackjack, and then my mom is all about the slots. But we went to the Nugget in Vegas many years ago, and I had some of my best night gambling ever. It was at the Gold Nugget off the Strip. If you're kind of new to Vegas and you don't know much about Vegas, the Strip casinos versus off the Strip is just a different gambling experience.
Yeah.
The people, the Golden Nugget off the Strip in Vegas, there's a better tone. Everybody's nicer, it feels. It's more chill.
Sure.
The dealer will actually hesitate before he hits you if he's thinking, he's trying to signal to you, are you sure you want to hit
there?
They'll
say, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
They want you to play there so bad that they'll have like $1 to $2 blackjack. And there's times where I'd be super drunk. And because we go to Old Vegas every time I go there, it's just because you can get plowed, yes, and they'll hold your hand while you're making awful bets. Like, man, do you understand? I've been doing this for years. I know how many kings are left. I would not do that if I were you.
You're right. Off the Strip, not so subtle. No. Tips on what you should be doing, right?
Do they serve hot dogs though, like that one place?
Dude, they have the dollar shrimp cocktail, which I'm sure doesn't get anybody sick. We call it the butt nugget when we go out there, but it's a great place to gamble because it's like $1 and if you're looking for attractive dealers, you are miles away from that.
Exact gambling experience you and I've had at the same place.
Oh, and it's great, and you know what? It's a million times more fun than being at some place like Caesars where the minimums are higher. And the people, they really are trying to get your money. Here it's like they just want you to stay and buy hot dogs.
That's right.
Because that's their bottom line. They make more from that from gambling. But that's good. I know your dad was part of the old school Vegas crew. That's good stuff. All right, so this is weird. Tom Brady, let's get to that real quick because, he's moping about everything.
Have you ever seen him like this?
Not after wins.
It's... I mean, at 10 weeks into a season, have you ever seen him still? Like, at the beginning of the season, okay, maybe there's some frustration. But this deep into a season.
Yeah.
And he's still, you know, still upset, still kind of sucking his thumb a little bit, still just disgruntled about what the where the offense is. I've never seen Tom act this way, really, ever.
He's a smart guy. So I don't think on the surface is what he's trying to get out there. Like, just that he's upset with how things are going and the offense isn't clicking. There's what do you think he's truly trying to say when he's acting this way?
Yeah, I think it all stems from one thing. I think the underlying frustration all stems from his contract. I think the fact this, because have you ever seen Tom act this way in the 20 years you've seen him play? No. Have you? And then I think to myself, what is going on right now that he's never had to deal with in his 20 years of playing here? He's never not had to play without a contract the following year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time in his career here in New England where he has, you know, a contract that is voided at the end of the season. And so I think that is his underlying issue with everything is the contract. And I think a lot of his frustration, he's like, you know, he's not going to protect the team. He's going to basically tell you, you know, what he truly, truly feels, because I feel like he's, you know, he has nothing to lose in a sense, you know, and he's mad that maybe he got an extension at this point in the season. You could just tell he was upset going into the season about the contract situation.
Yeah.
And so I think all his frustration and all his angst is with his contract. The fact he hasn't been given an extension.
You bring up a good point, because I never thought about this part of it. So let's say that he knows he's leaving, and obviously he doesn't look as good as he has in the past. He probably wants to throw a narrative out there just so the world knows, and he can just, you know, he can make sure it sticks, that everybody knows it wasn't his fault he had a down year. Because when you're looking for a new contract, what is everyone going to look at? What happened? It's, what have you done for me lately? How was his last year? Is he in this? Is he regressing to the point where he's not going to be worth a 2 to 3 year mega deal that some team might sign him to when it's all said and done? And that is a great point. I mean, there's a lot of different parts of it, but I think there is the notion that I don't want to be sitting there at the end of this year and having my value just go down, down, down because of what happened this year. So I'm going to make sure everyone knows it's their
fault. That's it.
Not mine.
I think that's exactly what is going on. And you would think, well, but a guy that has accomplished and has done what he's done and how he's regarded in this game, why would he have to feel like he has to put up these great numbers to get a mega deal? Because you're so conditioned when you play for the Patriots, so many of your contracts come down to prior year's performance.
Yep.
I have sat in those. I've been getting calls from my agent where it's basically, well, you played. You know, they want to ask you to take a pay cut. Bill wants you to take a pay cut. All right. Well, why? Well, you only played 20% of the snaps last year. Well, right, because I broke my foot in week 1 against Buffalo, so I missed the next 10 games, and so I can't. Yeah, they don't care about that. Okay. So, and then it's up to you whether or not you want to take them. So they are constantly throwing last year's numbers in your face when it comes to a contract. And so,
and can you imagine being Tom, 40, 41, 42?
And even with all the accomplishments, they still were going to throw the prior year's performance in your face when it comes to an extension. So I think that's very much in play with Tom. And, you know, a lot of people, he's going to go somewhere else and play. And don't you feel like that is not even a remote possibility when you consider Tom's so frustrated working with young guys. He doesn't have the time or the patience to work with young receivers, it seems like, right? Why would he go to another team and start with all new everything?
Unless it's one with veteran stars.
All right. Well, you still have to get used to him. But let's talk about him and Belichick, because Belichick seems the happiest you've seen him in years after these games. So we can discuss that with Ted Johnson coming right up. .985 The Sports Sub, we're Toucher and Rich. We got Pat's tickets coming up at 7:30. Ted Johnson in studio. So Before we went to break, Ted was talking about, obviously, I mean, it's without debate, that Tom Brady's pissed off. And Ted believes, and I believe rightly so, that it's about his contract. But then on the other hand, after games, you have Bill Belichick, who's having the time of his life. I mean, the difference between the two of them is night and day. I mean, you have Brady who's sitting there and he's, you know, doing 5-hour press conferences. He's instructing Jim Gray to ask him certain questions. And then you have Bill Belichick who's just got a smile. He's giving you like 700-word answers. So what is your opinion on why is Bill so happy right now?
Because of the defense. The defense is playing out of its mind. The defense it can't play much better than it's playing, other than obviously that Baltimore game. But you can't expect them to be perfect. But, 9 out of these 10 games, they have been absolutely dominant. Bill Belichick is a defensive coordinator. No one's going to say it. Everyone alludes to Stephen Belichick and Gerard Mayo. With all due respect to those guys, Bill Belichick is a defensive coordinator. You see him on the sidelines getting everybody huddled up. He's coaching hard. You've seen a couple of different times throughout the season where Bill will take the whole defense and coach them up. And it just hit me. I think it was the Jets game when they had a 2 or 3 touchdown lead against the Jets in their first time they played. Bill was over there coaching them really hard. And it just hit me. I'm like, you know what? I've been asking beat writers, guys that cover the team on a day-to-day basis, to find out who is addressing the defense after practices. Who goes through the practice film with the defense? Who goes through the game film with the defense? And that'll tell you who the defensive coordinator is. Not who calls the plays. Not who's signaling in the plays. That is not necessarily a defensive coordinator. Now, that's a defensive coordinator's job, usually. But don't kid yourself. Just because if it's Gerard Mayo or Stephen Belichick calling the plays, doesn't make them the defensive coordinator. That makes them, you know, maybe a play caller. But it's Bill Belichick. And I think because of the way this defense is playing, it's playing so well. I think that's what has Bill so giddy. I think he's just like, he's coaching the defense and it's performing very, very well. And that's his thing. And he's winning ways in which we won a lot in 2003, which wasn't necessarily because of our offense. It was really good defense, special teams, winning ugly, winning in different ways every single week. And I think that's kind of what's going on here. And I think that's why Bill's so happy, is because he's got all his fingerprints all over that defense, and it's playing the way it's playing. And I think that really makes him happy.
All right. So where does, he realizes Brady's upset. Is that going to bother him at all?
Bill, no. No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, and a lot of people want to think that maybe it bothers the defensive players. Well, you know, the defense is going out there and they're balling, and then Tom's mopey, you know, does that bother? No one cares. Like, the players get why Tom's upset. I mean, they do to some degree. I mean, the fact that the offense really, after 10 weeks, has zero identity is pretty fascinating, right? And particularly coming out of a bye. You like to think that, well, out of the bye, a lot of times they figure it out. They find their identity. They use what was working. And then they just kind of exploit what it is they're really good at. And then whatever wasn't working, they throw to the side. They're still throwing things at the wall and seeing if it'll stick. They still don't have an identity on offense. So it is kind of amazing to see the two sides. I mean, kind of flip-flop. I mean, the roles flip-flop, if you will. The defense has not typically been the thing that's the group that's, you know, carried this team. It's always been the offense, at least the last 10 to 15 years. So it's interesting to see how that's changed this year.
But Bill is a head coach that's, I know the defense is his passion, but he is responsible for, you know, everybody on that team. Do you think that it would annoy him, Brady's attitude, or he just, like you said, it just doesn't bother me. He doesn't care.
No, it probably bothers Bill to some degree, whether he's going to admit it or not. I mean, so my feeling is, and it's, I had the pleasure of being a captain for a couple of years, and you're in these captain's meetings, and it's these Friday meetings before every single week. And so you're privy to some really good information, you know, and you're sitting there. I'd be sitting there in meetings, and there's Tom about as relaxed and as candid and casual in his comments about the opponent and who we're playing with Bill. And It's a free kind of a forum to just express exactly how you're feeling in these captains meetings. And it's probably the most intimate setting you'll have with Bill, where he's probably the most relaxed he's ever. And Tom can be very casual and candid, and he says things that you're just kind of like, damn, okay. You would never say in the media, and you maybe never would say in front of the team.
Like insulting to other teams? Or
very, you know, critical, or just, hey, you know, these guys can't, you know, these guys aren't very good tackling on the perimeter. We got to run to the edge. Or these guys like to bait on the, you know, you can bait these guys and hit them deep. Yeah, yeah, Tom, we got to go up top four or five times before even halftime to see what we can get on these. Yeah, it's just a very casual, kind of candid, honest.
So you're saying he does not respect opponents. You're saying that that he goes in there and he says that the opponents are terrible.
That's not what I'm saying.
You're saying that before the Eagles game, he was in a captain's meeting insulting that very team.
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. That's not what I'm saying at all. My point is, does Bill get frustrated about it? No, I think Bill and Tom have a very open, honest relationship behind the scenes, maybe more than what people realize is my point.
All right, Ted. So we're kind of focusing on Belichick and Brady being upset with the offense. I think what's been missing here is Josh McDaniels and maybe some criticism to him. Whenever they seem to get into some sort of jam, right, they come up with a gimmick play. It didn't work the first time they tried it last week. It worked again when Julian Edelman threw the touchdown pass. But, I mean, I think Josh McDaniels deserves a lot of criticism. They can't run the football. The offensive line isn't getting the push. Brady's not throwing more than 5 yards per attempt. The screen passes aren't working whatsoever. Like, at some point, is Bill just running the defense? And, I don't know, McDaniels and Brady are just handling the offense here? Because they need something else here.
Yeah, just a side note on Josh McDaniels. Isn't this the time that we usually hear his name associated with head coaching jobs?
Yeah.
Like, where's Josh McDaniels? I mean, every single year, it seems like right around this time, you're hearing Josh McDaniels' name for head coaching job.
When you turn down enough jobs, when you turn down enough jobs, other candidates come to the forefront, like the coach of Baylor. Then you're too much of a pussy to take a job, and now you're going to turn around and you're not going to be offered him anymore.
Just wanted to throw that out there, Freddie. That's probably as good of a reason that his name isn't out there as any right there. But to get to your original point, you can almost say though that maybe depending on the talent out there, Joe, that maybe this is one of Josh McDaniels' better coaching jobs, but the numbers aren't good. Let's face it.
So think they don't have talent, though? Can we?
They have talent.
Come on, Fred. Fred all week has been on this, and I agree with him. Like, they have first-round talent. Brady doesn't trust young receivers. Like, they don't have a tight end. I'll give you that. And the line has some issues.
I mean, there's talent. My point is, I don't know how responsible Josh McDaniels is for the poor offensive line play. And I think a lot of the problems on offense stem from the offensive line. I mean, they don't have a lot of space. I mean, Ben Watson gave you a decent game, but the tight end position isn't. They're heavy in running backs, and they have, I think, enough at wide receiver. I get it. Josh McDaniels, I don't know. It's a lot of smoke and mirrors. It's a lot of scheme. I think because of the issues you have at offensive line and the deficiencies you have at tight end, that they have to scheme it up. They have to do trick plays, and they have to screens, and they have to do misdirection, and they have to do hurry up, you know, stuff that you don't typically see just to manufacture points. So, it is shocking. I mean, they've played 10 games, only three teams with winning records. And in those three games that they won against teams that have winning records, or two games that they won of the three that had winning records, the offense only put up just two touchdowns. So, it's against the better teams. It's not playing that well. So there's a lot of concerns with the offense. It's in two major parts of it. It's kind of shocking to me. They're bad in the red zone. I mean, they're historically very, very good in the red zone.
But they're afraid to run.
They can't, Freddie. Yeah. I mean, first and goal on the 4-yard line, three straight passes. Tom almost throws an interception, and he missed James White on the third down. It's almost like you get nervous every time the closer they get to the goal line, the more nervous you get that they're not going to be able to get in. And that is so atypical of a New England offense right there, is just their third down woes and the red zone, two key categories if you're going to be a good offense, that they are below average, if not one of the worst teams in the NFL in those two categories.
All right.
Very alarming stuff.
I'll tell you what, I can't sleep at night. All right, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-779-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on the Cowboys this Sunday, courtesy of Dunkin'. This Patriots season, the pregame starts at Dunkin' for DD Perks members. Because on game day, Dunkin' is offering Patriots fans 2x the points on any size coffee. So don't just celebrate your team's success from the sidelines. This excludes cold brew, nitro, and frozen coffee. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Kutcher and Rich.
I wish it was just Crazy Town every time.
It's just the same Crazy Town song?
Yeah, just all the time.
Butterfly is the only intro that we have to every segment.
In the video for Butterfly by Crazy Town, which I've been watching, a butterfly actually lands on Shifty Shellshock's hand. Like, he has the power to, like, oh, butterfly.
As if the message wasn't clear enough, the song is indeed about a butterfly, sugar, baby.
Yeah, it's about one of his bitches.
Is that what he says at some point?
He's like, yeah, you're my butterfly.
Well, that's always nice.
You're my bottom bitch.
So, Ted, the thing happened yesterday on Instagram of Antonio Brown putting out a message apologizing to Robert Kraft. He says, Mr. Kraft, I apologize sincerely to you and your organization. All I wanted to be was an asset to the organization. Semicolon. Sorry for the bad media and the drama. Thank you sincerely, AB. And of course, you know, the speculation is that he did not write that, because I don't think I've ever used a semicolon in anything I've ever written. And I guarantee you, if you go through all of his stuff, he probably is not either, unless his finger just happened to slip. So, you know, he was cut not because of what he said about Robert Kraft. He was cut because there was a text that was sent out to a bunch of his friends that the woman who had accused him in a Sports Illustrated article had said he had walked up behind her naked while she was trying to paint the house. She hadn't tried to sue him or anything. This is just a quote that was for that article in Sports Illustrated. And it was him telling his friends, this is the woman, this is what her kids look like, you know, you guys should check her out, and saying all this. I mean, it was a threatening text.
Very much so, yes.
So that's the reason he was cut. Yet afterwards, of course, he just goes scorched earth and ends up putting out that tweet that says, Kraft got caught in the parlor, AB speculations fired, different strokes, different folks, clearly. That also apparently made the Krafts completely BS, said, we are going to fight for every dollar of this $9 million that you don't get any of it. They did not like that. So now,
Has that been reported? I mean, I would not be surprised.
That was reported.
Has that been reported?
It was like sources say. It was one of those reports.
I bet you they were beyond living.
Of course. I mean, that's the one thing that, I mean, just think of all the money and time that they put into just that trial down there. And he at that point thought it had got away. And then it gets brought back up with Antonio Brown. Yep. They want that to just disappear from the public consciousness. So there's those hard feelings. However, there is Tom Brady liking every post that Antonio Brown throws out there. And after that apology one, Julian Edelman, Stephon Gilmore, Tom Brady, a bunch of players on the Patriots liked it. Do you see, and there was also this week, Antonio sat down with the NFL and apparently finally had his interview having to do with the civil case. Mm. And it sounds like things for Antonio are going in the right direction. The once again, inside sources are saying that the NFL is trying to do what they can, because I guess there is a want that people want him in the league, and some teams have been asking about him, and they're going to Goodell and going, dude, we might want this guy. Can you move things, like speed things up? Any chance that he would be a Patriot again?
No. I would be stunned. And so, you know what? I guess maybe a little bit, but I just can't imagine, even with the public apology, and if that is the first thing you would have to do, if you were even thinking that the Patriots would maybe want to give you another chance, is you better apologize in a public, very public way, in a very sincere and genuine, heartfelt way. Better apologize to the owner. Like, that's the first thing you have to do back into this team.
Were you here with Logan Mankins? Remember, he had a holdout, and the only way they wanted him back was he had to publicly apologize
to
Robert
Brown. This is so different because
he said different.
The person he has to apologize to is the woman that he threatened. Mm-hmm. That was the reason he was cut.
He also said different strokes, which was obviously a reference to him.
Play on words.
That's right.
And if Jonathan Kraft goes back and lets this guy back on the team, he's going to seem incredibly weak, especially when they're sitting at 9-1. And our favorites to win the AFC.
There's a sense of desperation that maybe signing him. I don't think the Patriots ever want to project this image that we're the Patriots. We're not desperate.
They've signed Josh Gordon. Like, they've done a lot of
Josh
desperate
Gordon. Different. Very Josh different. Gordon's not Very a bad different. Guy. Josh yep. Gordon just had personal.
They
demons.
Signed Antonio Very Brown. Different. Well, Antonio Brown, I didn't have a problem with it at the time because he was just kind of a fun.
He was
mess.
A malcontent.
Right, he was a malcontent. He wasn't.
They
this.
Signed Albert Haynesworth, and he was out quickly too. Yeah.
But you're right. Josh Gordon, people lump him in, and that's not fair. Josh Gordon just had a chemical dependency. And, you know, he wasn't doing anything. He was self-sabotaging himself. He wasn't, you know, running around and
hurting other
problems.
People. He's hurting himself. Addiction is more of a crime on yourself than anything.
Yes.
But if you look at that offense, at least in the first half of that Miami game, week two, when Antonio Brown was here, I mean, I was doing the post game. Joe and I were talking about for NBC Sports Boston. And I remember I was saying, it's over. I mean, it's over.
Scorched earth stuff. And it was also against Miami, so it made it look even more dynamic.
I get it, but you just saw what the potential was with this offense. As good as that defense was playing all preseason in the first two games, and then you saw the impact of Antonio Brown. Was like, all right, well, everybody else is just playing for second place. So if you just want to, and you don't care, and you will sell out, you will sell your soul. Nope. To get a seventh, you know, title, bring him in. But you are selling your soul.
There's a dirtiness to it. The Crafts have built the brand, and the Crafts have such influence in the league that there's no reason that Jonathan Kraft has to eat that crap sandwich. There's none. The guy came after him. The guy was making sexual jokes about him. Yeah. You can't bring him back.
Is it possible the apology to Kraft, though, was more not necessarily to try and get back with the Patriots?
Oh, sure. Yeah, it was a PR team saying, look, he's apologizing to the Patriots. Teams, look, he's mature.
There you go, Fred.
Where's the apology to the Raiders, then?
Because they never take him back. Because
he didn't personally insult,
and he didn't
the
personally
Raiders
also
Steelers.
The NFL gives a rat's ass about Mark Davis.
Yeah, Mark
they
Davis
care about Robert Kraft.
Good point.
You know, and I know that is something obviously that was. I'm sure somebody in the head office has told Drew Rosenhaus, Antonio Brown's agent, if you got any shot of coming back, first thing you need. Public apology. I will text you exactly what it is. Copy, paste it, put it in your phone, and there you go.
That's exactly right. When the Instagram post where you guys have read towards, you know, Robert Kraft saying what he said about the massage parlor, that is why other teams won't sign him. Because what owner is going to say, why would I want this guy to come in? Now he'll insult me on the way out too. So it was not necessarily just about his chances to come back here, but it's his chance to just try and get back in the league.
I think it's another reason why Brady's bitching is I think that he wants it out there that, hey, I want weapons. Get me Antonio Brown.
Fine, but then if I'm a billionaire owner, I'm not taking crap from some wide receiver.
Well, they also haven't given Brady what he wants this year, so why would they do this? They haven't given him a contract for a zillion dollars that he deserves.
Do you guys think that Tom and Kraft are in a good place right now?
No, because not a bad place, but I don't think it's what it was.
I think that the relationship's a little fractured.
Yeah, he didn't give him his contract that he wanted, and B, after Antonio Brown did that and put Robert Kraft on blast on Instagram, he's liked every one of his posts afterwards. Do you do that to one of your friends?
All right, but I'll tell you this, is that that you hear how the Krafts talk about Brady off, like privately. I mean, they're like obsessed with him. It might be fractured a little bit, but I find it very difficult to believe that they have, you might know something I don't know, but just in the past, I mean, that is sacred ground.
Oh, very much so, very much so.
They don't like you when you talk about it.
But that was in the past. And I'm not in those circles as much, right now. So I can't say that they're saying the same things about Tom that they always have. You just wonder. That's just there's just enough evidence there to wonder if you know Tom and Robert are not as close as they once were. And I, a lot of it comes back to what I originally said. That I think the whole problem is with Tom and what the underlying angst is his contract. Because let's face it, when it comes to Tom's contract, that's a Robert Kraft thing. Yeah. That's not a Bill Belichick thing.
Right.
So that's who Tom is upset with. It's Kraft, not necessarily Bill on that.
All right, we have Brooklyn 911 or Brookline, sorry, 911 coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll finish things up with Ted Johnson in just a moment.
98.5 Toucher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We'll be listening this morning at 9:30 for your chance to get tickets to the Cowboys-Patriots game. Now, Ted Johnson was reminiscing with Mr. Joe Murray about his greatest game ever as a Patriot.
Joe brought it up, so.
Yes, Joe.
That's what we do on the weekends. We screw all the Patriots talk.
Joe's plays to my vanity when we work together.
Yes, he desperately wants to be friends with you.
He
talks about how you text each other and all those things.
Joe's one of my favorite guys here at the Sports Hub, man.
Well, right, because you're in great proximity to one another. But all right, so tell us about this Cowboys game. All right, so what year is this?
1996.
Okay, you know off the top of your head, that's great. All right, so it's 1996. Now, what makes
I was watching the film last night. Because in 1996, and we were, it was the quintessential moral victory. We lost the game. 12-6, something like that. The Cowboys, obviously, they had won 3 Super Bowls in 4 years and preceded that game. And they were, you know, they were loaded, man. Emmitt Smith, Darrell Johnston, Nate Newton, Larry Allen, you know, Michael Irving. And we lost that game. But it was one of those, you know, we played out of our minds, and it gave us this feeling like we could beat anybody. And I don't think we lost a game again until the Super Bowl against the Green Bay Packers. So it really did a lot for our confidence. And that was the game that I saw Adam Vinatieri make one of the greatest plays I've ever seen a kicker make. And Joe?
The Herschel
Walker play.
Adam Vinatieri, was your rookie year or was it his rookie year?
It was Adam's rookie year.
Rookie, okay, yep.
My second year.
Remind me.
We kicked off.
You don't remember?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Rich? 1996, we're playing down in Dallas. Adam Vinatieri kicks off. Herschel Walker runs it back. And he's in the clear. It looks like he's going to get a touchdown. Adam Vinatieri has the angle on him, but catches him at the 4-yard line before he gets into the end zone.
Oh, that's awesome.
I mean, he just tracks him down.
They're like legendary.
That's like awesome. Tracks
Herschel
him
Walker
down.
Was like one of the best like kick returners.
Do you believe or her,
and yeah, then,
Herschel
and then
Walker
we were
is
able
one of the best athletes to play the game? Do you believe that he didn't lift weights?
I can't. No, because
there's no way.
Like didn't I hear that? Like didn't he claim that all he did was
sit-ups
and push-ups.
Yeah.
But he had traps literally like my bumps, they're better than orgasm. You know, like these huge traps, you know. Like as Arnold, as a horrible Arnold Schwarzenegger.
The pump, yeah.
The pump. But he was
it's
a
like
massive.
It's like an orgasm, you know. That's you ever watch Pumping Iron?
That's what he was just saying.
That's
the best. Yeah.
That's right.
And so he claims that he only did push-ups and sit-ups, but no, that's crazy.
Why was this your best game?
Just had one of my better games, man, and it was one of those games that you're like in the zone, like you're talking about like an out of body like experience. I could not make the wrong play,
yeah,
and so it's like you can't wait to get back out there. And it felt good because I hated the Cowboys growing up. I grew up an Oilers fan, so the Cowboys were, and so it always was a personal thing, and it's kind of fun because those games when I played the Cowboys, it's those guys I played against. You know, you didn't play him very often, but it's really, very nice. I'm very flattered. I get a ton of respect from those guys on those teams for just the 2 or 3 times I played against them because they were probably some of my better games. Part of it, I like to think, was probably because I hated them growing up so much, and so I always got up for those games.
Well, so that kind of, you know, leads to what's going on now is, you know, that was obviously a game with a very explosive offense that you guys were playing, and you held them to 12 points. Mm-hmm. You did your job. But then the other side of the ball, they weren't doing their job as much. You've got Tom Brady, obviously, he's moaning about, you know, the offense isn't doing as well, yet the defense continues to hold things down. Is it okay to be in a good mood if maybe your side of the ball wasn't up to your normal standards, yet the team is still winning?
We already talked about this.
Oh, is this when I was editing Brookline?
Okay. Yes.
All right.
We've already discussed.
Didn't mean to backtrack. I was just doing work.
Hey, we've already discussed that.
Just talking about this week's game, though, I know you have a man crush on Sean Lee. Tell us about Jalen Smith just as a linebacker.
Oh,
and just in general, right? To me, I think the Cowboys are a good football team with a bad head coach.
Yeah, that's it.
And I think the Patriots, the only advantage I think they have this week is they're at home.
Let's face it. This is a spot where the Cowboys usually throw up all over themselves. I mean, they've won the three out of the last four games. So they're playing better. You're right. They have studs on defense. They really do. I mean, Jalen Smith is – that dude is sick. I mean, that guy is one of the best linebackers. I do have a man crush on Sean Lee. He's not what he used to be, but the injuries have caught up to him, but he's a phenomenal player. I do wonder, you have Isaiah Wynn potentially coming back and starting at left tackle this week. Robert Quinn, their right defensive end. Oh, my gosh.
Lawrence on the other side.
And they have two very good edge rushers that I can see. If Isaiah Wynn comes back and plays, you're going to have to watch that left side, because Robert Quinn is he can wreck games. So the only thing I think that holds a lot of times the Cowboys back, and I'm a big fan of his because he's a very, very – one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. That's Jason Garrett. There's limitations to Jason.
Of course.
His in-game management, his game planning, his clock management, and that usually whenever you go up against a Bill Belichick, if you have any issues in those areas, they get exacerbated when you play Bill. So – is good as, and you know, Rich, you and I were talking about this a few weeks ago. Like, mm-hmm. which teams in the next four or five games were you worried about the most against the Patriots? The Eagles, Cowboys, Texans,
yep.
You know, Kansas City, and you said Dallas.
Yep.
And I agreed with you.
Dak Prescott is playing about as good as anyone right now in the NFL.
Is he going to get his $40 million a year, you think? That's
40 mil is ridiculous. He'll get 35.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Yeah, I'm a fan of his. He's a damn good player. I just think he's this defense got back on track last week after they got embarrassed 2 weeks ago against Baltimore. So Patriots win this game, and I don't want to say it's going to be, you know, close. It'll be competitive for a little bit, but the Patriots, will eventually put them away in the fourth.
By the way, you completely undersold the speed on Adam Vinatieri. I'm watching this play now. So Adam Vinatieri, like, he was beat. I mean, Herschel Walker was gone.
Yep.
And from behind,
right?
Adam Vinatieri comes and catches up with him and then jumps onto his legs and knocks him out of bounds.
Maybe if he didn't do that, he could still kick. All right.
I mean, he was beat, and Adam Vinatieri just smokes him out.
One of the best plays I've ever seen. Because they had, Matt Barr at the time, who was successful. They went with Vinatieri, and that like kind of what everyone kind of believed in him a little bit more as a football player.
Well, he's a football player that happens to be a kicker, is what our old strength coach Johnny Parr used to say about Adam Vinatieri.
All right. Well, Ted Johnson, it's always a pleasure, sir. And
thanks, guys.
I read that at the end as well, Danny Boy, or just the beginning? All right. Well, I don't got it. So,
Lawyer! Ma!
Give it to Daddy!
Where's the meatloaf? Oh,
come on! Give me that sweet, sweet copy.
Here it comes.
All right.
There you go, Mike. Attaboy.
You're an athlete to run it in here.
It's not Mike's job to do that, but nonetheless, Ted Johnson is brought to you this morning by Boston Prolotherapy. Do what Ted did and receive a short course of injections to help repair painful damaged joints without surgery. Online at bostonprolotherapy.com. Thank you so much, Ted Johnson.
Thanks, boys.
And when we come back, after zero commercials, we'll have our very popular segment, Brookline 911.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.